Good morning. This is the Beers and Belts podcast. I am your host, Phil Price. It's good to have you here. So today we're going to be talking about the AEW shows from the week. We had AEW Buy-In, AEW Rampage, and AEW Saturday Night Dynamite outside of their normal Wednesday time slot. So Beers and Belts podcast, episode number one here. We are coming straight out of Charlotte. North Carolina! So we are here to just give you a quick rundown of what happened this week, catch up on anything if you missed it and you weren't able to watch. First things first, let's jump right into the Buy-In show. You had Tay Conti and Santana Garrett. It was not a great match, unfortunately. Conti has been getting better and better, but there just wasn't chemistry between these two. Quick match, fairly quick, I would say, but Tay Conti ended up getting the win with the DDT, and that was that. So moving right along to Lee Moriarty and Bobby Fish, this was a great match. So coming back off the Tay Conti match, we go right into one that was fantastic. These guys both really know how to go. So a lot of back and forth, but Fish ended up winning with exploder suplex into the ropes and then just kicked Lee Moriarty's head into the crowd, basically. I mean, he gave him a stiff shot, it looked like. So again, that was just a great match by two really good workers, getting Bobby Fish acclimated into the company. But really, really good match. And the final one of the Buy-In was, to me, very shockingly put on this internet show, because you had Bryan Danielson and Minoru Suzuki. And this is something that could have been a main event on pay-per-views and people would pay for. Just absolutely fantastic match between the two. There were some really, really stiff shots as well, which you would expect, especially between Suzuki and Danielson in this, but back and forth for a lot of it. Stiff shots, like I said, but Danielson came away with the win with the flying knee. But if you have time, this one is definitely worth going back and watching. Really, really good match. So check that out if you have a minute. So getting into the TV show now with Rampage. Started off with CM Punk and Matt Sydal. This was a really good match. You know, I really like Matt Sydal in the ring. He is one of the best I think they have as far as a worker. Unfortunately, his character just doesn't have a whole lot. You know, CM Punk and him worked really, really well together. Both guys got a lot of offense in. Both were able to showcase what they do well. But, you know, obviously CM Punk came away with the win. He got to go to sleep, which people were chanting for about the whole match for him to do that. So, you know, the aura of CM Punk coming back still has not gone away. People are still super excited about seeing him. And, you know, Matt Sydal made himself look really well. And the loss, CM Punk showed sign of respect after the match was over. But, you know, moving forward, I would just like for them to figure out something with Sydal's character. He just needs something, and I don't know what it is. You know, leave a comment for me if you think you've got a good direction for him. I'd love to hear what you all think. But, again, great in the ring, just needs some direction with his character, I think. So, moving on, next match was The Bunny and Ruby Soho, and this ended with Ruby Soho with a backslide victory and then scooted out of the ring, had her arm held up in the ramp for the victory, which was a little too WWE for me. She's supposed to be this new dominant figure in the women's division, so I don't know if having her basically steal a victory with a backslide and run out of the ring is the best way to portray her in this case. The match was okay. I mean, it was an okay match. I would have expected a little bit more, but, you know, another win for Ruby Soho, checking that box. She'll move up in the rankings, and, you know, they're already establishing her as one of the top people. So just keep that moving. Next match was the Inner Circle versus Men of the Year and Junior Dos Santos Trios match, which had a distraction finish. Again, you had Masvidal come in, hit a flying knee on Jericho at the end, leading to the pin, and that was that. America's Top Team standing tall in the ring with Paige VanZant taking selfies and pictures, and that'll be addressed later in the show. So moving along though, I would have liked to see more of Guevara and Scorpio Sky. I mean, I think those guys are absolutely fantastic. They work well together. They started the match, and I would have liked to have seen a little bit more from them. But when the show's only an hour long and they try to pack all this in and you've got commercials, they don't really have a whole lot of time to build some of these matches on that show. So, I mean, you blink and Rampage is over. So, but all in all, you know, it was a good show. Progressed some feuds. The America's Top Team feud is not one of my favorites. I know some people like it. I know it's bringing more eyes in from people that are UFC fans. So it is what it is. They'll push that, and, you know, as they keep going on and getting closer to full gear. But, yeah, so that was the buy-in, and that was Rampage. So moving on to Saturday Night Dynamite. And this one jumped right in. We had Malakai Black and Dante Martin start this one off. I expected, you know, obviously you expect for Malakai Black to win. They've put him up on a pedestal. They're making him seem very invincible at the moment. And Dante Martin is a tag team wrestler, so he shouldn't win. But man, Dante Martin is athletic and fun to watch. And after last week, I didn't expect this to get the amount of time that they gave it. Was a very well-worked match that Dante Martin was able to showcase a lot of his skills. And this kind of gets addressed into something a little more exciting later in the episode. So I'll bring that up when we get to that. So again, Malakai Black wins. Black Mass. Good match, good way to start the show, as Dynamite always does. That, you know, they've always excelled at having a great match to get you hooked and into the show. So from there, we move into a locker room segment with Jurassic Express, and they get ambushed by the Elite. So we're progressing that feud. I'm sure that's going to go all the way into full gear. But, yeah, I mean, it was what it was, progression of the feud. So then America's Top Team comes out, and they have words with the Inner Circle back and forth. Jericho is in the ring, makes some funny comments to Paige VanZant, gets her fired up, gets her husband really fired up. If you haven't watched this or heard this, you need to just go and take a look. It popped me, so it may have been a little uncalled for. It may have been below the belt, literally, but go back, take a look. It's worth watching. So moving along, we had the AAA Tag Team Championship match next with the Lucha Brothers versus Las Super Rañas, which I guess is the Super Frogs, which it didn't take long for them to be unmasked to find out that it was FTR. So within this match, you have FTR versus the Lucha Brothers. Again, another great match. Love to see this. Ended with a distraction finish, though. Tully Blanchard hopped up on the ring. I think it was Dax that hit Rey Fénix with the belt, if I remember correctly. Hit Rey Fénix with the belt, hit the Brainbuster, and 1-2-3 victory. So they are the new AAA Tag Team Champions. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, where they go to defend those. I think it's interesting how many belts are ending up in AEW from independent wrestling companies, but it's fun. It's taken my eyes to areas that I probably would have never watched, which I know is, you know, the agreement with some of these companies. So it's serving its purpose. So after that, had another backstage segment with Dante Martin and Tony Schiavone and Lio Rush, which basically, coming out of this, Dante Martin and Lio Rush are now going to be a tag team, which, I mean, you talk about two guys who can fly all over the ring, that's them. So that'll be exciting. I hope that, you know, they can pair them together with the Lucha Brothers would be a great match. You know, anybody who can do all the flippy dippies is going to be worth watching. So we'll see where that goes. Excited to see Leo Rush back in the ring. Hope he's fully healthy and in a good place, because when he is on, man, he's really exciting to watch and he's great with the microphone. So it'll be interesting to see that feud get progressed going forward, because Dante Martin's skills on the mic are still developing, and pairing him with Leo Rush will probably benefit him as well. So going from there, we had another backstage segment in the stairwell where Tony Schiavone was stopping FTR and Tully Blanchard from leaving to get a quick interview, and they were running out to their car. This ended up with MJF and Andrade talking, and Andrade giving money to MJF, I guess, to work with FTR for one night. So we'll see what comes out of that. Next, we had Jon Moxley and Wheeler Yuta. This surprised me because I thought that AEW was high on Wheeler Yuta, and this was an old-fashioned squash. I mean, it was probably 50 seconds from bell to bell, and Wheeler Yuta got zero offense in. Moxley just came in and destroyed him. So, squash match. Moxley was clearly very fired up. So, interesting to see what happens. One, with Moxley, obviously, he's fired up. He's going to be at the top of his game, as he always is. But Wheeler Yuta makes me wonder if they're no longer sold on him, which I haven't really been sold on him from when he entered the company. Didn't really strike me as anybody that was good on the microphone. He was above average in the ring, I guess, but, you know, if you take him away from Best Friends and Orange Cassidy, he's just a guy. So they may be letting him go and letting him go back to the Indies. So next we had Serena Deeb, who wanted another match with Sheeta. Sheeta came in, they had a brawl, so it looks like that feud is going to continue to progress. So after that, we had the Superclique versus Dark Order match, which was a good, fun match. There were some really, really fun segments in this. You know, ultimately, the Superclique won, but you had a moment where one of the Jacksons had a shoe off, and then Evil Uno pulled a sock out and gave a Mr. Socko to one of the Jacksons. And, of course, there were Socko chants from the crowd, so that was good fun with that mandible claw. And what else? We had, as Cole had Evil Uno in a camel clutch, and the Jacksons were running the ropes, getting ready to do their little kiss on the cheek, they were pulled out of the ring by Silver and Reynolds, who jumped in the ring and then gave Cole a kiss on the cheek. And he obviously looked very surprised after he realized who it was. And it was just a fun, funny little moment. But, yeah, Superclique won with a triple BTE trigger. And then Cole hit a running knee, 1, 2, 3. That was it. Jungle Boy comes in at the end of the match. Everybody runs out except for Cutler, who gets put in a snare trap and is provided absolutely no help from the rest of the Superclique. So Cutler left on his own. From there, we went into a Cody promo with Arn Anderson. Again, this is one that is building up the Cody Malachi Black feud, and building up Malachi Black as just being basically somebody that's going to be impossible to beat, because he is just so dangerous. So building that up, it was a good little segment. Just progressing that feud along. Then we had MJF in the ring calling out Darby Allin. Darby Allin was injured. Obviously, he wasn't going to show up. So Wardlow pulls Bryce Remsburg down to the ring to do a count out on Darby Allin. And he gets to about 9. Lights go off. Snow comes down. Sting's music hits. Sting comes out with his bat, comes to the ring. MJF pushes Wardlow into him. Wardlow gets hit with the bat. MJF runs out of there. So we're going to have maybe MJF and Wardlow versus Sting and Darby, or maybe just a straight up MJF and Darby, which for two of the young stars that AEW has, that'll be a good match. They could do that 100 times and I'd watch every one of them. So moving forward then, we had another backstage interview with Anna Jay. It gets interrupted by Britt Baker and they fight. So now we have a Anna Jay, Britt Baker feud going on there. And after that, we go back into the ring for Kiera Hogan and Penelope Ford, back and forth. Both got offense in. I thought Kiera Hogan looked really good. But ultimately, Penelope Ford wins when she put Hogan in a mood lock and got her to tap out. And that mood lock looked really painful. So it was a really good look, good submission. And, you know, it was a decent match going through. So after that, we have a Hangman promo, which he comes down to the ring. It was very fiery, talking about how everybody has supported him, all the chants. He hears all the chants of people chanting out cowboy-ish, and that when he gets to full gear and he's fighting for the title, he is going to give back some cowboy-ish. So good promo, progressing that feud along. Good to see Hangman back. You know, he is going to be one of the guys that is certainly carrying the company in the future. So good to see that. And then we moved into the main event. So that was Bryan Danielson and Bobby Fish, which, again, how would this not be a good match? They were both paired up really well. They work well together. I'm sure they've had plenty of matches in the past through the indies. I'm sure they trained together in WWE while they were there. So it was a good pairing, good styles. They seemed to know, you know, how to work well with each other. Would have liked to have seen more time on this one too. As the show got later and later, I started looking at my watch and I said, they're not going to be able to give this match the time it deserves. So, you know, who knows if they could have a longer one going forward with this, but Danielson won with the heel hook submission. Great match. So that was AEW for the week, which was Friday and Saturday. So again, great show. Good to be on the weekend and able to stay up and watch them and kind of analyze after the fact. But again, this is the Beers and Belts podcast. I am your host, Phil Price from Charlotte, North Carolina. And we look forward to seeing you next time. Leave me any comments, any feedback below if you're watching on YouTube. And we'll see you next week. Thanks.